WEZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A federal judge in San Francisco dealt a potential blow to President Trump and Elon Musk's plans to cut the federal workforce, saying that the Office of Personnel Management lacks authority to fire employees on its own. Another hearing scheduled for 2 weeks, but the job cuts continue, says ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
The Department of Veterans Affairs firing some 1,000 newly hired employees. And the government job cuts could affect your weather forecast. 800 workers have been fired at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, including a meteorologist working to improve hurricane models.
President Trump today meets with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House. They're expected to sign an agreement giving the U.S. access to some Ukrainian natural resources. The mystery surrounding Gene Hackman's death is growing. Authorities in New Mexico say the two-time Oscar winner and his wife had likely been dead for weeks before they were found in their home. There's no indication of a break-in or robbery. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The legendary Gene Hackman has passed away at the age of 95. If you haven't already heard, Hackman, his wife Betsy Arakawa, a classically trained pianist, and the couple's dog were found in their New Mexico home. Authorities say they had been dead for a while. Hackman was the star of films like The French Connection, The Poseidon Adventure, Mississippi Burning, The Conversation, and Hoosiers. The late great Hackman moved to Pasadena, California in 1952 after he got out of the Marines and met Dustin Hoffman at the Pasadena Playhouse, where both were voted least likely to succeed. Seems like a pretty cruel award to give to another adult. Despite not having leading man looks, Hackman says he never cared about that and just wanted to act in any capacity. Hackman retired from acting in 2004 and moved to New Mexico, where he became involved in the arts community and wrote books. Gene Hackman is quite often referred to as the greatest American actor. He won Oscars for his role in The French Connection and Unforgiven. Gene Hackman was 95. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wisconsin players headed to the NFL. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. 300 of the best college football players here to interview and work out for NFL teams. One of them, Badgers safety Hunter Wohler, who saw his team fall to 5-7 and miss playing in a bowl game for the first time in 22 years. I asked Wohler, who grew up in Muskego, Wisconsin, how concerned is he about the Badgers football program?
It's going in the right direction. I mean, obviously, the last 2 years haven't exactly been what I envisioned, what Coach Fickell has envisioned, but like, Coach Vick's a great coach. I have 100% faith that he's gonna get that program in the right place.
NBA, Bucks with a win over the Denver Nuggets, 121-112. Milwaukee getting help from guys off the bench in the fourth quarter like Kyle Kuzma, Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah, they made a great run for us. That cushion, that momentum, that was huge for us. You know, and again, I think as great as they've been, I think they're going to be so much better a few weeks, a month down the line, which is scary to think.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jane is out, but I, Greg Bach, am your guest host for the day. And we have political editor Dan Schaefer recombobulating the news, and this shouldn't be a thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be windy with falling temperatures and a few off and on snow showers likely today. We could have gusts from 35 to 40 miles per hour. The temperatures from the 30s this morning into the low 20s by late afternoon. Tomorrow will be sunny and colder, our high 24. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 40.
Earl Ingram.
Dr. Omar, we sometimes think I'm going to lose weight. I'm at the gym 3-4 times a week, and then 2 months down the road, they see that they've lost 3 pounds.
Think of the 4 main things to help us balance: how I sleep, how I eat, how I live, and my relationships. Don't shy away from seeking therapy. We need to seek that support to keep our health goals going.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the director and driving force behind the film Green and Gold, Anders Lindwall. Comedian James Connolly and Max Inc. co-host Terry Barr joins us for Bar Band Friday Night.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Oh, yeah. A beautiful Friday on the way around the state of Wisconsin. Hope you've got plans to enjoy it. Welcome in, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke. This is the Midwest Farm Report. One of the good news items that I get a chance to give you this morning is the weather forecast. Sunshine on the way for today. Our temperatures, well, they're expected to warm up into the low 50s. There is a chance that we could see some showers developing later this afternoon, but probably not measurable. Winds, they are out of the southwest today. They could get a little gusty, 15 to 25, maybe even instances of 45 mile per hour gusts. But like I said, focus on the sunshine and 52 degrees. Everything changes in 24 hours tomorrow. Sunshine, but our high temperatures will only be around 30 degrees, and the winds will still be noticeable. Sunday, sunshine, 39. Monday, we're back to 44, but we've also got more precipitation in the forecast coming our way next week. Stumacher, ag meteorologist, on the way with those weather details.
With low supply and high prices, all because of the bird flu, eggs are a hot topic in the food industry. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo. And you might think how it affects you when you go to the grocery store, but how about when you go to a restaurant? Susan Quam, the executive vice president of the Wisconsin Restaurant Association, is giving us an update on how the egg shortages are affecting the restaurant industry, as well as some of the consumer trends that the association is noticing.
Well, of course, you know, we're just as consumers are seeing prices skyrocket in the grocery store and maybe even some lack of availability, obviously our operators are running into the same thing. The supply chain for eggs for the restaurant industry is a little different than that for the grocery stores just because they're packaged different. So not every egg facility packages for restaurants. So it's a limited number of facilities that can do that. If they're experiencing a specific shortage or depending on where, you know, some of the bird flu flock situations have occurred, that is definitely making this a regional issue for a lot of operators. Now, obviously, across the supply chain, we've seen a minimum of a 45 to 50% increase in prices just in the last 12 months. Now, we know this bird flu issues was percolating much before that. So overall, in the last couple of years, egg prices on the restaurant side have gone up almost 200%. So, you know, we're seeing some pretty severe price hikes from, you know, people paying like $50 a case and now having to pay $175 to $200 a case for eggs. So if you're in the bakery or you're in the breakfast business, that's a struggle.
Yeah, and you were mentioning the bakery and breakfast industry there. Are they being forced to maybe try to find substitutions for eggs in their products? Or how are they dealing with it? Are they raising prices? How are they trying to combat the supply and price issue?
Well, I think you're seeing a combination of different factors. Obviously, if you're a breakfast location, and eggs is a big part of that, and your profit margins are slim as it is, you have to kind of make some adjustments. You're going to have to pass some of that cost on to the customer. They're just the models that restaurants operate under in that situation just can't absorb that huge of an increase, even for something that was considered, you know, traditionally to be a low cost protein source. So we're seeing definitely price increases. I think the most famous one you hear about is the Waffle House increase, where they're charging a surcharge of 50 cents per egg onto a bill, rather than overall trying to raise prices on everything. They're going that route. Others have just had to suck it up and change their menu prices and increase their prices. On the bakery side, they might be trying to use something that's might be an egg substitute, but depending on the type of products, that just doesn't work because, you know, the liquefied eggs or the other type of products that aren't, you know, if you're a from scratch bakery, that just doesn't necessarily work for your, the product quality that you're looking for.
Yeah, what would they be using as a substitute if they were to try to use a substitute?
Oh, if for bakeries, you know, it depends. They could try to use some of these liquid egg substitutes that are out on the market that are a combination of vegetable oils and colorants and some other flavorings. And then, of course, there's always the good old home method that a lot of people use, which is like applesauce or, you know, some other kinds of liquids. Aquafaba is another common one that's used in the vegan bakery business. And that's the liquid that comes in your can of garbanzo beans. And so that's being all used already in the vegan marketplace. So those are kind of things at the bakery side. There is really no substitute on if you're a breakfast place, except for maybe the liquefied scrambled eggs. But a lot of folks pride themselves on from scratch cooking and they aren't going to be utilizing those kinds of products. They're going to suck it up and have the real thing.
Are these restaurants at any point kind of trying to steer away customers from eating eggs to try to like conserve what they do have because that supply is just so thin they have to pay so much?
Well, that's a great question. I think, you know, obviously they may try to run specials on other kinds of products like waffles or you know, other types of breakfast dishes that are less egg centric and maybe encourage folks to go that direction. But, you know, we're in the hospitality business and our job is to supply what the consumer wants, right? And we want to make sure we give them, if they come in and they want, you know, a 3-egg omelet, we're going to give it to them. So it just has to determine what's that value proposition for the customer as well as what's in it for the restaurant. So I think those are more what operators are trying to do. I know they're hoping to ride out the storm and not have to be too aggressive on price increases. But, you know, from what we're all hearing, that this is, you know, we're easily 6 to 9 months out from any kind of real increase in the national flock. So, you know, this is going to be a longer term solution.
And here in Wisconsin, these bakeries and restaurants, where are they getting their eggs from? Are they getting them from Wisconsin or are they now being forced to bring them from further out due to bird flu kind of starting to move through the flocks here, the egg producing mm-hmm. flocks here.
So I would say the majority of restaurants in Wisconsin are getting their eggs through their broadline suppliers. That would be, you see on the road, Sysco and Gordon Food Service and Performance Food Group. Those folks are where the majority of folks are getting their product. And I know that they're having to, obviously, as you just mentioned, source from farther away in the supply chain, possibly, depending on how the flocks are doing here in Wisconsin. And also, as I said before, eggs for food service are packaged differently. They're not packaged by the dozen in an individual carton. They're packaged by big flats with, you know, like 48 eggs on a flat in a case, you know, multiple flats in a case. So those kinds of situations, you know, also limits where the product's coming from. So they'll be bringing them in from all over the Midwest. I don't think they're bringing them much farther than that. But, you know, it definitely, there's more truck miles on those eggs coming into the state.
Well, and have you heard of any like severe case scenarios where restaurants are needing to go to a grocery store to try to buy some if for some reason they run out because of the supply issue?
Oh, sure. That happens all the time with, you know, with almost any product, especially if you're, you know, these days, especially post COVID, you know, deliveries from your suppliers is not happening on a daily basis. They come once a week and you do run short on eggs or any other product, they're going to have to try to go find that product, you know, locally at a grocery store. So that definitely happens all the time on those perishable types of foods.
And to go along with some products having a price hike, beef is also seeing a bit of an increase. How is that mixed with the eggs affecting some of the restaurants?
Well, I, you know, overall, and beef prices have gone up about 13% year over year. And of course, we saw similar and much higher prices than that immediately after the post-pandemic post-pandemic in the area building restaurants back up. Overall, wholesale prices for restaurants basically are running double whatever the price increases you've seen in the grocery store. Because we have a much narrower line of products that are used in restaurants, and like in the instance of beef, you're primarily talking about ground beef and middle cuts, and some from the chuck, but mostly ground beef and middle meats, where at the grocery store you see everything. So the amount of product that we use that jacks the price up for all of those kinds of products. So the inflation, you know, in the last 3 to 4 years on all of those wholesale products, beef, pork, poultry, cheese, butter, eggs especially, of course, have been pretty exponential for the restaurant operators. We're seeing, on average, a 30% increase in food prices just in the last, wholesale food prices, you know, in the last 24 months. So pretty significant.
And with that, I'm assuming restaurants are also being forced to hike their prices as well.
You bet. Menu prices here in the Midwest have gone up on average 5% each year for the last 3 years. They just have had no choice between, as I said, the food costs going up 30%, labor input and wages paid going up over 30%. You throw in huge increases in credit card processing fees and rent and insurance and everything else that every other consumer out there has seen price increases in. You're seeing that, you know, is going to affect, they have no choice but to raise menu prices.
Quam says that although the restaurant industry is currently facing some tough times and will have some hurdles to go over in the future, it is still strong and continuing to grow. From the southern end of the world's longest barn, I'm Ben Jarbo.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org. Supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Elon Musk. You're going to fire a bunch of folks. Well, that's going to, you know, increase unemployment. That's going to have an impact on the economy. The government buys farmers' goods for the USAID and no more USAID. Well, this thing's going to rot in the field. What happens to the prices? What happens to the farmers? What is the point here? It just seems like these are just such amateur decision-making, wasting our taxpayer dollars by wasting people's time.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6. On the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a TGIF edition of the show. Our old friend Peter Rapine of EPOM's World is in with a wacky week in review, and Mr. Zomers rolls out a board game of the week. Be here.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Angela, about a special webinar they've got coming up, so stand by for that conversation. Stu Mock, ag meteorologist, joining us for another conversation about weather. I got a nice picture this morning from one of our talk texters of little daffodils that have decided it's time to see if they can poke their way through a little bit of the soil surface. I think, you know, with the way the weather's been going, Stu, seeing a lot of that kind of thing, especially if they're kind of already in protected areas, it also begs the question what my maple syrup folks are thinking about. I think I heard that a couple of them were thinking about starting to tap trees maybe this weekend, but boy, temperature is really way heavy on that. If you're involved in tapping for maple syrup or maybe birch, I don't know, maple syrup is where I live. Why don't you let me know what's going on? Just like the daffodil pictures, you can send me pictures or just a text or call. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. What do you think? George, did you tap trees when you were a kid, Stu?
Yes, and it was just brought up the other day when somebody looked in the backyard. Are you going to tap those trees this year? Oh.
Yeah, I was driving across to, really, from Minnesota to Green Bay over the past couple of days, and I see there's some folks that have some fantastic lines already strung, ready to go, compression pumps ready to suck that sap. At home, it was still the traditional bag and bucket way, but like I said, we hit 50s today. We start getting mixed signals out there for these plants, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the trees think it might be time to get going, then we're going to get a cool day, and they're going to slow down, but I really look at March and early in the month, that first week or better is going to be a little on the normal or above normal side. It's probably getting to be time. We do have a little precipitation this morning, very far northeast Wisconsin up into the UP, the northern tip of the Door Peninsula, seeing a little rain right now. There's low pressure building in from the northwest. It's coming along with very, very mild air. Temps this morning far above normal, will only continue to climb today, but precipitation becomes more of an issue. Some rain showers, maybe a little snow in the north here a bit later in the day. None of it going to amount to a great deal. Trace amounts of rain, you know, maybe a little snow that sticks to the ground. That's about the most of it. Southern parts of Wisconsin, all right, the southern three quarters, Eau Claire, Wausau, Shawnee, or Green Bay, under a wind advisory today. In the far west, it begins at 9 a.m., then 10 a.m. a little further east, not until noon in the far east, and lasts till about 6 this evening. Those very strong winds become northwest today. There will be wind gusts at 40 and 45 miles per hour. Very, very brisk. Light objects going to fly around. You know how that is. And it adds to the chill with the day that, even though the thermometer says is going to be mild, will feel quite chilly. That precipitation all ends, and we really cool off sharply for Saturday. Turn it around very quickly. Sunday and Monday, more mild air returning. But a little later Monday toward Tuesday, some rain once again may pop up around Wisconsin, sounding a bit more like spring with that rain back in the forecast. I'll have forecast details right after this.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump. Patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
You may know Rural Mutual Insurance as the number one farm insurer, but did you know they also offer a competitive home, auto, business, and life insurance? They make it convenient to bundle your insurance while saving you time and money. Visit RuralMutual.com to learn more.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
All right, buddy, like you said, the thermometer may betray us when it comes to the real feel on our Friday, huh?
Yeah, the wind is a big deal, Pam. The wind advisory in effect from 9 early this morning to noon later on in eastern Wisconsin until 6 tonight. Our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. more clouds and that chance of a little rain, maybe light snow in the north. In the south, low 50s. In the far north, maybe just into the low 40s. And the southwest winds become northwest, 10 to 20, gusting to 40 and 45 today. Overnight, some clouds, but it does cool off into the teens, very low teens in the north, upper teens south. North winds still 10 to 20, gusting to 40. And then not too bad. Colder Saturday, sunny skies, maybe only in the mid-20s in the north or near 30 south, but the northwest wind 5 to 15, and some sunshine Sunday, and we start pushing back up into the 30s, low 30s north, upper 30s south, and southwest winds develop at 5 in the 40s on Monday, Pam, but a little rain snow mix could edge in again.
All right, so Monday in the 40s, are we going to see a declining temperature next week, or what do you think?
No, I think those upper 30s, close to 40 for quite a few days, so it sounds a bit more comfortable.
Beautiful. Stumacher, ag meteorologist with your Compeer Financial ag weather update on a Friday. Go to compeer.com for more information on what they offer you.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Three elected officials in the Pennsylvania borough of Milburn are being arraigned on mail and voter fraud charges relating to a 2021 attempt to manipulate a town mayoral election. The Delaware County Daily Times reports that two borough council members allegedly recruited willing voters outside the Philadelphia suburb to support a third council member's write-in campaign for mayor. The town of 1,200 residents has only 549 registered voters and one of the highest concentrations of citizens of South Asian descent in the country. The three allegedly solicited personal information from the outside voters, then logged in and changed their state voter registration addresses on the state voter information portal to a Milburn address. The Daily Times quoted the indictment as alleging, in total, defendants Muhammad Nural Hassan, Muhammad Mansour Ali, and Muhammad Rafkol Islam falsely registered nearly three dozen non-Milburn residents as Milburn voters and cast ballots for those non-Milburn voters in the 2021 general election for mayor of Milburn, unquote. Hassan still lost the election 165 to 138. Defendant Islam was arraigned February 25th, and Ali and Hassan face a judge February 27th. Actual voter fraud remains exceedingly rare nationwide and even more rarely affects the outcome of elections despite partisan disinformation. Find more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
In the military, we make a lot of sacrifices, and with the VA loan, it makes it easier for us to get a home.
We were able to purchase this home and then use the money that we were going to use as a down to actually fix up the home. I would tell anybody who is interested in getting a VA loan to just do it.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Matt Nair on air.
Oh, Randy Manner is here.
What can you do about this? Focus on what you can impact. Find the courage to speak up to your elected official. If you are silent, then your elected official at the local, state, or federal level will think you completely agree with whatever it is you're doing.
Silence equals acceptance.
Correct.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. A federal judge in San Francisco dealt a potential blow to President Trump and Elon Musk's plans to cut the federal workforce, saying that the Office of Personnel Management lacks authority to fire employees on its own. Another hearing scheduled for 2 weeks, but the job cuts continue, says ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
The Department of Veterans Affairs firing some 1,000 newly hired employees. And the government job cuts could affect your weather forecast. 800 workers have been fired at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, including a meteorologist working to improve hurricane models.
President Trump today meets with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House. They're expected to sign an agreement giving the U.S. access to some Ukrainian natural resources. The mystery surrounding Gene Hackman's death is growing. Authorities in New Mexico say the two-time Oscar winner and his wife had likely been dead for weeks before they were found in their home. There's no indication of a break-in or robbery. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you weren't already aware, there will be a Shrek 5, and it will have a fresh-faced new star in the cast, according to Deadline.com. Zendaya will join the cast as Shrek's daughter. If you're scoring at home, that means she will play the offspring of Mike Myers and Cameron Diaz. Eddie Murphy will also be back as Donkey. Shrek 5 will be the first film in the franchise to hit theaters since 2010's Shrek Forever. The fifth installment is expected to grace our screens Christmas of 2026. The death of Gene Hackman will most likely be talked about for weeks to come in the entertainment business. Hackman and his wife Betsy were found dead in their New Mexico home Wednesday. Hackman quietly retired from acting in 2004 after appearing in the film Welcome to Mooseport. In a 2009 interview with Empire magazine regarding his retirement, Hackman revealed that the straw that broke the camel's back was his doctor telling him his heart could no longer handle excessive stress. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Wisconsin players headed to the NFL. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. 300 of the best college football players here to interview and work out for NFL teams. One of them, Badgers safety Hunter Wohler, who saw his team fall to 5-7 and miss playing in a bowl game for the first time in 22 years. I asked Wohler, who grew up in Muskego, Wisconsin, how concerned is he about the Badgers football program?
It's going in the right direction. I mean, obviously, the last 2 years haven't exactly been what I envisioned, what Coach Fickell has envisioned, but like, Coach Vick's a great coach. I have 100% faith that he's gonna get that program in the right place.
NBA, Bucks with a win over the Denver Nuggets, 121-112. Milwaukee getting help from guys off the bench in the fourth quarter, like Kyle Kuzma, Gary Trent Jr.
Yeah, they made a great run for us. That cushion, that momentum, that was huge for us, you know? And again, I think as great as they've been, I think they're going to be so much better a few weeks, a month down the line, which is scary to think.
That's Bucks center Brooke Lopez with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Pat Kreitlow.
I'm back from Arizona, but no spring training games. Just 4 days in a locked hotel conference room. I might have to vent a little Friday.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be windy with falling temperatures and a few off and on snow showers likely today. We could have gusts from 35 to 40 miles per hour. The temperatures from the 30s this morning into the low 20s by late afternoon. Tomorrow will be sunny and colder. Our high 24. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently it's 42.
The Dom Salvia Show.
You know, Harvey, the seemingly purposeful no action. What's your sense on the leadership in the Dem Party right now, Harvey?
I'm ashamed of them. What did Trump have on all these people?
Yeah, right.
That we get this kind of silence. Will the Democratic leadership figure out that it's their task to start articulating a Democratic, small d, Democratic vision and project that these people can rally behind? Bam.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
The Todd Alba Show.
Think about how many people in our communities, our friends, our families, our neighbors, our postal workers, carriers, people that work at our Veterans Affairs hospitals, USDA. Here's what Marjorie Taylor Greene, Donald Trump's lieutenant, thinks of all the people I just mentioned.
Federal employees do not deserve their jobs.
That's what Donald Trump and MAGA believe if you are a federal worker.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media Radio Station and on the app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The one and only Professor Bob Harvey has graced the airlines with us. Let's go to Vincent.
With this new administration, African-American history is under assault. To Professor Harvey, how important is it for us to fight back, not only for Black History Month, but throughout the year?
African-American history is not going anywhere. Start digging into history. You find out that long before the Mayflower, Blacks were already here.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You know, as a lot of Wisconsin farms start getting ready for spring planting a couple months down the road, decisions have to be made. Making decisions on a farm is not necessarily the easiest, especially if multiple generations are involved in the operation. You say that everybody's got their own individual responsibilities, but when it comes to making long-term decisions about the farm, that can get a little rough. One of our guests this morning is focused in on succession planning. Nobody should take this lightly, but farms especially. It's not something that happens overnight. In fact, it may take years before a solid succession plan's in place. Might as well start the process. One of our guests will help you do just that. Welcome back, everybody, on a Friday morning. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke, glad you're along with us. Even better that we can look forward to a Friday that's going to encourage a lot of missing in action, if you know what I mean. I know I'm trying to figure out a different way to get out of the office and enjoy the sunshine and warmer weather, temperatures into the 50s. But do remember, we are going to have a pretty strong breeze out there today. So it is the 28th day of February, tomorrow, already March 1st. What can I tell you? Let's see, on this day in 1935, nylon is invented. A fellow named Wallace Carruthers produced the polymer at the DuPont Experimental Station in Wilmington, Delaware. Nylon came into our lives on this day, 1935. On this day, 2013, Pope Benedict XVI resigns. Did you know that he is the first leader of the Catholic Church that resigned since 1415, so about 600 years ago? Why did he resign? His health. Pope Benedict XVI resigned on this day, 2013. On this day in 1940, the very first televised basketball game happened. University of Pittsburgh beat Fordham University, and it was televised for the first time in 1940. And happy birthday today to actress Bernadette Peters. She is 77 years young, and now you know. Unfortunately, we don't know if the federal government is going to restore monies to the U.S. Department of Agriculture and many of the programs that it executes, including grant programs. The Dairy Business Innovation Alliance is one of those that distributes those grants. And now farmers that had counted on that money for investing and improving their facilities, their operations, are kind of left hanging. Stephanie Hoff has more.
The Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association is sounding the alarm. It sent a letter to the U.S. Department of Agriculture asking Secretary Brooke Rollins to immediately release funding for the Dairy Business Innovation Initiatives. The program froze this week, and the stoppage of nearly $29 million stands to impact about 420 dairy businesses nationwide. Hidden Springs Creamery in Westby is one of them. On the farm, Travis Forgs manages 80 acres and milks 300 sheep for their farmstead cheese. Before the federal government froze the money, the Dairy Business Innovation Alliance was supposed to be a tool for Travis to supplement his own investments in growing the farm and creamery.
The Dairy Business Innovation
alliance and the four different groups that are out there, DBIAs, you know, working across the country, there's been a tremendous amount of positive support that we heard about. And it's not just, you know, for cheesemakers, it's for anyone that's looking to enhance dairy business.
On the DBIA grant, the dairy business grant that you were approved for, I'll say, how much was it and what were you going to use it for?
This particular grant, it was a little bit over $90,000. And it was approved to put in a really large for us. Now, of course, everything is perspective, right? Because this is a small dairy, but a big walk-in freezer. So that freezer is for our Driftless products, which is a soft cheese that we're making that's been growing pretty substantially. We're actually headed into Whole Foods sometime this month with some of these flavors. So we can actually freeze this cheese, then, you know, have it available for Whole Foods and others in a bigger quantity. The program itself, when you say, like, I was approved, we were approved, and the way these programs work, they pay for certain things, they don't pay for other things, like the building, which is on us. But we also have to pay for it all up front before you get reimbursed. So they're pouring it as we speak. Like, the process of this going on has me now responsible for the $90,000 that I was in the business plan planning on being paid back for. So I have, you know, on top of the spend of everything else we're doing to make this work, we are now on the right now, which I just have a very hard time believing the federal government is going to default on its own agreements long term. But it is a shocking situation when out of the blue in one day we get a phone call. Well, I'm getting poured. Well, the concrete is pouring for projects that we've been approved on that they're not going to pay, that they're freezing the funds.
What do you do? Do you call the bank and ask for patience, or what do you do?
Right. There's no forgiveness. First off, I think everyone's in their own situations. I was on the call yesterday. First and foremost, you know, the Dairy Business Innovation Alliance and the people working there are distraught with all these programs and all these farmers that are left high and dry. So they had phone calls yesterday. I was on one of those, a lot of tears going from not just farmers, but staff, and fear of what's going to happen to the businesses that are now on the hook. For us, you know, I'm in close connection with my bank. So we will, you know, work through what we need to work through. But it really is can be crippling for a business. You know, I think it's really important as people hear about these kind of programs, if we don't believe that these programs are a good way to spend money in the future, which I'm going to argue it's a really good way to generate community and income, because, you know, we've been able to hire more people. We're bringing on another farmer to ship us milk. All those things are based on the programs that we built and we're spending on. But if we decide we don't want to do that, that's one thing. When you make promises to people, and I don't mean like a handshake, I mean a contract, and then you just say no, you're really, really messing with a whole lot of good people that were doing this with, believing that the government wouldn't default on them. I have faith that common sense is going to come through here instead of just craziness. At some point, we're going to have some common sense that if you want to make changes to programs, you surely can moving forward, but you don't just cut people off at the knees. So I have some faith there. But then there's the bottom line of how you're going to pay for this stuff.
Travis Forgs, along with us from Hidden Springs Creamery in Westby. He's one of 420 dairy businesses across the nation dealing with a funding freeze from the Dairy Business Innovation Initiatives. Right now, he's on the hook for $90,000, but he's hopeful the federal government won't default on the contract. He is unsure how long it will take. The Wisconsin Cheesemakers Association is asking for the funds to be released immediately. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Thanks, Stephanie. And if you are one of the agribusinesses impacted by these frozen funds, please reach out to us. Share your story. We'd love to know. You can email us, pam@midwestfarmreport.com. Or, of course, our talk text line is there right now, 877 877- 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276. Yesterday in Chicago, barrel cheese gained a penny at 180 and a half. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged at 187. Double A butter, that gained a penny, 234 and a half per pound. Now this morning, we've got December new crop corn up a penny, 462 and a half. November beans are up 2 1/4 right now, 1044. July wheat, almost 4 cents higher at 580 and a half. The March class 3 milk that goes into cheese is up a nickel, 1905 a hundredweight. April, down a dime right now, 1850 a hundredweight. Livestock across the state of Wisconsin this week for those beef steers, $1.92 to $2.08 a pound for the live whole animal. The Holstein steers, $1.62 to $1.83 a pound, again, for the whole animal. Cows, $1.15 to $1.31 a pound for the whole animal. As far as the baby calves are concerned, so the beef cross baby calves under 110 pounds, selling for $830 to $985 per animal. Folks, these are literally baby calves under 110 pounds. That's how valuable they are in the beef industry these days. Market lambs, as we get ready for the Easter holiday on the horizon, $180. Light lambs, $200 in the market this week. That's courtesy of our friends at the Equity Cooperative Livestock Auction Market, getting ready for their annual district meetings. If you've sold livestock, make sure that you are checking out when the Equity District meetings are going to be happening in your area. Well, there's a meeting coming up that a lot of farms should tap into. Succession planning on farms is not easy, and it does not happen overnight. But we're going to be discussing starting the process at least. That's just around the corner for you on a Friday morning.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers.
Looking at the road that was laid before me,
from civil rights to business,
food and like food trucks is just like a cool atmosphere.
Science to music.
Speaking of which, this is where I spit. Express sentiment, a lot of cats on here.
I'm Terry Barr, inviting you to join us right here for inspiring stories all month long.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That is
and
so
that
well put.
Matters.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
This weekend, we ask the question, where is the GOP? And we ask it to former RNC Chairman Michael Steele.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Agriculture, that's not necessarily the case. And the good part about this one is it is a virtual webinar that allows you to bring along your questions. Joining us today is Megan Roberts. She is the principal quantitative and economic analyst with Compure Financial, who's going to be hosting this event. All right, Megan, let's talk a little bit about the webinar that's coming up. Succession planning is nothing new for a lot of folks in our audience. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about some of the highlights we can expect.
Yeah, we are really excited to have Brooke Devier-Starks, an estate planning attorney with firsthand farm transition experience and knowledge, that's going to be joining us as our featured speaker for our succession planning webinar on Wednesday, March 12th at 9 a.m. We'll also have it recorded for those that can't join live. And it's such an important topic. It's really something that anyone at any age within agriculture needs to be thinking about. Whether you're planning for your own retirement or you're planning to get into a farm, this is a hot topic and so important.
Yeah. You know, I was mentioning at the outset why agriculture is so unique. Can you help them better understand why I said that, Megan? We're a complicated bunch, especially when you're talking about a generational pass and a generational pass that made it go to more than one member of the family.
Absolutely. So there are so many aspects of agriculture that make the transition and estate planning process very complicated. We have assets that thankfully or unthankfully, depending on where you are in the process, are worth a lot of money. And that can make the process very challenging from a financial, tax, and legal aspect. We also have assets that mean more to us than just their financial value. They have family meaning. They are part of our heritage. And so that complex nature of the process really creates some extra challenges, but it also creates opportunities for communication within families. And it is something that families can get done and be successful at.
If you're just joining us, this is Megan Roberts, Principal Quantitative and Economic Analyst with Compure Financial. We're talking about a free virtual webinar on March 12th, starting at 9 a.m. And they've got some great guest speakers that are going to join in because, as you might expect, this is not a one-person-fits-all presentation either, is it, Megan?
No, every farm is unique. There are some common themes, though, and that's really what, in a one-hour webinar, we're going to be able to cover, are those common themes, things that really anybody within a farm family or a small business, so maybe you're not on a farm, you're a small business, food and agricultural owner, anyone can think about. So we're going to start at a really high level, but then we'll also have Q&A so people can bring their questions. And we'll try to answer them in an educational manner and to really dive into maybe a little bit further details when we get into the Q&A portion.
Yeah, the good thing about these webinars, these virtual presentations, is that Compure Financial always archives that information, and it will be available on their website, which is the same place you can currently register for the upcoming webinar. Again, that's compure.com under their events tab. Look for the succession planning webinar on March 12th, beginning at 9 a.m. You know, we mentioned about the complications that agriculture faces with succession planning. Megan, let's talk a little bit about why you need to start now and not think you can do this in a fast manner. I don't know about you, but when it came to succession planning for our little bitty piece of paradise at PMD Farms, it's not a one and done. You better start this process well in advance.
It is a process that for most farms takes quite a while of time. And it's a process that even after you quote unquote finish, you're going to probably have to go back and refresh as dynamics change, as farm business operations change, et cetera. I believe, since I already had a chat with our guest speaker, estate planning attorney Brooke Devier-Starks, that she tells families it could take as much as 10 years time. Certainly, you wouldn't be actively engaged in the process for that full 10 years, but I do always talk to families about planning for more time to get this done rather than less, because it is typically not a quick process.
Yeah, you mentioned our guest speaker, the person that will be giving us some pointers on estate planning, Brooke Starks. Tell me a little bit about her and what you've learned about her and her presentation style, Megan, because this can get a little dry at times.
It can. It is legal, financial, tax. We're going to focus in on some of the communication aspects and just getting an understanding of what the process is. And that's something that Brooke really excels at. She is candid, she's down to earth, and she's going to try as best as she can in a virtual webinar to keep things lively during the hour that we're spending together.
I don't want to throw you off here, Megan, but is there a workbook or a worksheet that will be included in on the virtual presentation March 12th or even the online version?
Yeah, when you register, you are going to get a link to our webinar. During the live session, you'll have the ability to download the resources. And if you can't join us live, you can click on that link from your registration and you'll get into the recording. And it will also have a checklist of resources that Brooke's going to provide for all of our attendees.
Outstanding. Yeah, and I'll tell you what, folks, any of these virtual events that Compeer has been holding this winter, all available in their archives, and every one of them brings some critical information to your farm operation for 2025. Like we said, this one, succession planning, on March 12th, beginning at 9 a.m. Register today for details at compeer.com, with the events tab being what you want to look for. Their special guest speaker is Brooke Starks, talking about succession planning. And joining me today is Megan Roberts. She is, of course, the principal quantitative and economic analyst with Compeer Financial. All the information you're looking for available today at Compeer.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Looking for great golf, food, and fun in Hayward, Wisconsin? Big Fish Golf Club and Die Hard Sports Bar and Grill have it all. Thursday nights are Mingle with a Cause, raising money for the Hayward Senior Resource Center from 6 to 10 p.m. Weekends at Die Hard's bring unbeatable dining. They deliver pizzas, burgers, wings, and specialty sandwiches daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. within 10 miles. Plan your wedding or reunion in their event center for up to 150 guests. Call 715-934-4770 or visit golfbigfish.com.
Authentic Texas-style barbecue is on the menu today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Unless your farm caters to agro-tourists, you should be careful about hosting visitors who are not used to being around livestock or machinery. It poses a safety risk to them and a liability issue for you if your insurance doesn't cover persons outside of the farming operation. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com.
I joke and say that, you know, in Texas, everybody believes their barbecue is the best, because they wouldn't be Texan if they didn't believe that.
That's Brian Bracewell, the third generation in his family to own and operate Southside Market and Barbecue. The business originated in 1882 in Elgin and has expanded to three additional locations in Central Texas. Bracewell returned to the business after attending Texas A&M University, though he goes back often.
I've been involved in Camp Brisket and Barbecue Summer Camp at Texas A&M University since they began. And I bring those things back home and we apply them here at Southside, and there's no doubt in my mind that we're making better, more consistent, authentic Central Texas barbecue today than ever before.
Bracewell says there's a science to good barbecue.
Barbecue takes time. Barbecue takes effort. And so for us, that means being authentic with the cuts of meat we use, with the brisket, with the beef, sausage, using the post-oak wood for the fires. It takes patience. It takes a desire to get it right. You know, you can't rush that. You just got to let it happen.
My thanks to Texas A&M for assisting with this story. There's a link to more on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
Have you heard Rojo and Van Orton deny that Republicans are trying to cut Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security? I break down the numbers and call them liar, liar, pants on fire, starting at 2.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Todd Alba Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky visits the White House today. And ABC's Karen Travers says Zelensky is looking for U.S. security guarantees, but that he and President Trump are expected to sign a deal that would share Ukraine's natural resources with the United States.
This is something that President Trump has been very interested in as a way to get back, in his words, some of the money that the United States has sent over to Ukraine over the past 3 years since the war started there. And he's looking for Ukraine to, you know, give something in return.
The federal government's job cuts continue. 800 workers have been fired at the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration. But a federal judge in California said the Office of Personnel Management does not have the authority to order firings of federal workers. It's the 15th day in the hospital for Pope Francis, the longest hospital stay of his papacy. But the Vatican says he's no longer critical. This is ABC News. One person was arrested at the